Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3 and 15 through 18. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Words to reflect on this All Saints Week for sure. Anybody out there like the Lord of the Rings movies? Of course, the books are even richer and help you dive more deeply into the world of Middle-earth. But we must thank Peter Jackson and the franchise for giving the trilogy even more popular appeal the past few decades. If you are unfamiliar with the series, written by J.R.R. Tolkien, a British World War I veteran and language scholar, it is a saga about the forces of good and evil battling it out in the mythical land of Middle-earth. The work draws on the Icelandic sagas written centuries before, the Finnish epic Kalevala, hope I'm pronouncing that somewhat okay, and other Nordic and Germanic myths from over the centuries. The Lord of the Rings stands out among these other epic sagas, though, because it was written in the 20th century to make sense of modern, tragic clashes between empires. Started in the trenches of World War I, the images of dragons, orcs, evil warlords, immortal elves, and easily corrupted men was not written to explain ancient events from thousands of years ago, but to make sense of the German, French, English, and Russian empires engaging in the bloodiest and deadliest war of the entire century. Tolkien found that mythical figures of ancient lore were better suited to describe the terrible events of the Great War than other mediums that were far more common by the 1900s. Demonic beasts inhabiting mountains, dwarves greedy for gold, transcendent elves seeking to flee the world they once ruled, an evil wraith descending from the skies seemed, at least to Tolkien, to better capture the scale and experience of the millions of casualties left around Europe than any modern symbolism or art form. Sometimes, the world just seems full of beasts. It was no different for the prophet Daniel facing the beasts of his day, circling around ancient Palestine. Now he had a vision of four beasts. First, a lion with eagle's wings. Second one, a bear with three tusks coming out amongst its teeth. The third, a leopard with four wings and four heads. And the fourth beast, that was described as terrifying and dreadful, and exceedingly strong with iron teeth, different from all the other beasts because it broke things into pieces and stamped all over what was left. Four ancient, cosmic beasts that, much like the mythical figures in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, represented real-world empires that clashed with each other and sought to have dominion over as many nations as possible. The commentary I read on this passage by Professor Christian J. Wendland says that history reveals these four beasts to be the ancient empires of the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, and the Greeks. all of whom marched their armies through Israel at one point or another. These were the superpowers of the ancient world. When they fought, it was epic. And they were so strong that dinky nations like Judah and Israel dared not oppose them in open battle. They were like terrible beasts that could not be killed, even by the strongest warriors imaginable. But Daniel's vision went further. He also saw in his dream the Ancient One, our Creator, take his throne of fiery flames and burning wheels in the midst of them. The Ancient One put the fourth beast, the most powerful one, to death for all of its arrogant words and boasting. Then the Ancient One robbed the other three beasts of their sovereignty and power and gave it to the Messiah, who, verse 14 says, was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. In other words, Daniel's vision tells of our Creator, God, stripping worldly empires of their power and handing it over to the Messiah, who is yet to be revealed. Though Babylon, Mede, Persia, and Greece were all renowned throughout the ancient world for their military might, political strength, and even cosmopolitan wonder, they were nothing in the eyes of God. They would all be destroyed beneath the mighty will and judgment of God. And our Ancient One would create a better kingdom, an everlasting one, that could not be matched by any kingdom created by mortals. God's kingdom would come, and God's kingdom will have no end. This leads us back on All Saints Week, when we remember the faithful who have gone before us, to verse 18 from our passage. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The promise comes to us through Daniel's vision that if we die among the holy ones of the Most High, we shall receive the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. It is one thing to have a kingdom for a lifetime. It's quite another thing to possess it for eternity. God promises to make us heirs, nobility, kings and queens, presidents and prime ministers, and for my little ones, princes and princesses. I'm sure that my daughter is excited at the prospect of wearing her Princess Anna dress for all time. This kingdom that God promises is not one that can be toppled by dictators, terrorists, or trade wars. It will withstand trench warfare and does not need to be supported by colonialism with its exploitation of weaker nations. It does not rely on extreme taxation or the military-industrial complex that has come to dominate our global economy these past few decades. The kingdom of God withstands the beastliest things that we come up with and more, because the kingdom of God is secure through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah who was given all dominion on earth and in heaven. This is reassuring for us as we remember our faithful departed today. They are secure in the kingdom of God forever and ever. When our loved ones die in the Lord, it is we who are left in this life who grieve and mourn. Yet when you think about it, especially in the context of Daniel's vision, perhaps it should be the other way around. You see, the faithful departed, the holy ones of the Most High, have already received the kingdom of heaven by the grace of the Son who promises it to us in our baptisms, around the table, and every time we seek God's forgiveness and mercy. Those who have received these promises are freed from the beasts and battles of this life and are eternally free to live in and possess the kingdom of God. It is those of us who are left on earth to duke it out with the beasts that are too big for us to conquer, struggle with the land to produce hay and crops in order to keep the livestock and herds fed, and help our neighbors through their addictions and poverty, while simultaneously we work to deal with our own issues. Life is not easy, but the life to come is. God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ has secured our place there, and we give thanks for the blessed communion of saints who dwell in the heavenly kingdom already. There is no beast in this world, no evil power, dominion, or empire that is greater than the Lamb of God. Though Jesus came to this world as a meek servant of humanity, He dwells now as a king beyond compare. He has lifted up the lowly, brought down any power that would challenge His goodness and grace, and given new life to our loved ones who have died in the faith. Today we give thanks to the Lamb of God for His atoning sacrifice and the endless grace that He has shown to those who have gone before us, our faithful departed. And may we all, one day, be blessed to sing God's praises forever and ever by joining with the saints around the heavenly throne. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.